Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spoiler warning, if you're scared of spoilers, don't listen.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck it in chicken.
I'm gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Luigi Mario!
Hello and welcome to Leguizamarama, a podcast where Mish, Zach, and often a guest get together, watch one thing starring the greatest and most underrated actor of all time, John Leguizamo, and then discuss it for between 45 minutes and 3 hours. I'm joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Michelle Wittrup, who you may know from...
Hello. In 2008, I was the youth coordinator for Heidelberg Theatre Company, bitch.
Fantastic. My name is Zach Ruane. You may know me from in 2007, I was in a production of an adult production, not even a teen production, even though I was a teenager, of Into the Woods at the La Trobe Theatre Company. I played one of the princes. This week, we are joined by... you may know him from improvisation and podcast. Ben Russell. How are you today, Ben Russell?
So good. How are you? Thank you so much for,
hi,
for welcoming me on. Hello, Mish. Hello, Zach.
Hello,
may
Ben.
God
how are you?
Bless your fucking bones.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I needed that.
That's so kind. That's so wonderful and kind, Ben.
I'm a kind man. I'm a self-described kind man.
You're the
how are you doing,
man.
Ben? You doing well?
Good. I just made some haggis.
Yes. We got on to record the podcast and Ben was like, yeah. I'm so sorry, but in 5 minutes I have to go and check on my haggis just in case it bursts.
Yeah, you don't want to burst haggis. That's a fucking nightmare.
And look, I'll be completely honest, Ben. I'm very appreciative that you've come on to do this podcast, but I think the worst time ever to cook a haggis is when you're about to do a podcast.
Listen, it was a miscalculation of time, which is classic me, to be honest.
How long does
the butcher tell you? Like, make sure that when you put this in that you're not recording a podcast before it's ready.
Well, it takes about half an hour, and I don't know if it was truly cooked, but I ate it.
Oh, that's beautiful, Ben. Ben, what...
So I guess we'll find out.
What drove you to make haggis?
Torrent of diarrhea that comes out of it. We'll find out soon. We'll find out about in about what, like, I would say 5 hours or so?
Yeah, five or six hours. Yeah.
If it's really bad, though, you might get the runs within the next hour, which is great for Zach and I because we tend to waffle on a lot and we really want to keep this podcast to 1 hour. So if you are going to shit yourself, if you could do it in the next 58 minutes, that'd be fine.
Okay. And it is rich. It's a rich meal. Those Scots don't fuck around.
Was it effort to find haggis in stage 4 lockdown?
Yeah, it was actually. But I found it.
Talk us.
I kind of just happened across it. It was I was at a gourmet butcher, and they had a haggis, and with instructions on how to cook it, and I sous vide it, so which is French for cook it in a bag. and I just boiled that on the low simmer. So you just simmer it. You don't want to boil it because if you boil it, it fucking splits and then it's all over, right? You've ruined your haggis the moment it splits. Because the moment you cut into that haggis, the guts and the oats that have been stuffed in there and the herbs all come spilling out. It's one of the most disgusting things you've ever seen.
The only thing... for a vegan, that's more disgusting than the concept of haggis is a split haggis.
Yeah.
Like, that's rotten.
So it's like lamb's pluck, they say. That's what it's full of.
What's a pluck?
Pluck, I believe it's all the gizzards and the shit that the offcuts, the stuff that they don't want. Anything that's in a, again, I think you described it well, Zach, anything that's in a 4 and 20 pie is in a haggis.
There's a lot of people that criticize haggis. They talk about how bad haggis is and they're like, oh, it's so gross. And it's like, that's only because you're describing it by its ingredients. If you did
it's only because
with...
it's up front. Very yeah. Scottish. Yeah, it's very it's Scottish. Like... It's very honest.
Very honest. If you did that with a pie or a sausage, yeah. we'd be just as upset. But we don't go, what's a sausage? Well, they take the guts and they put it in the intestines. And like, it's like, what an odd way to describe
it. A haggis is a Scottish hot dog. It's just that Americans don't want to explain what's in the hot dog because it's ooey. Where, like you said,
yeah.
Ben, the Scots are just like, fuck it. This is some guts. You eat it.
Get
keep
the
warm.
Get the
keep
sheep's
fucking
guts.
Keep warm.
You put some oats in there, some herbs, and then you stuff it in the sheep's own fucking stomach.
Isn't that grotesque?
Suck it.
It's just grotesque. I love it. It is. It's just this amazing thing. It's like pate is lovely and fancy. Haggis, ewee.
Yeah.
Ewee. Yucky.
And so
haggis.
I decided to go one step further in my, because I needed to back up a just a little yummy yum. And one of my comfort foods is macaroni and cheese.
Mm.
Yep.
And so I made macaroni and cheese with it. And I, in a flight of fancy, added the haggis to the macaroni and cheese.
On it? In it? Beside
it? So I mixed it in.
Oh, in it?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking I thought it was going to be kind of like a crumble on the top that you added.
Well, it is kind of, but I mixed it. I just ended up mixing it all in with it. And it was fucking delicious. It was not good to look at, though.
Ben, I have to work. Like, I have to dig in.
I'm never going
to
shit
again. John Leguizamo and Ice Age. I need to dig into this. I need to know what kind of... sort of mac and cheese it was. I need to know just what the experience of eating it was. What was the mouthfeel? What
was
the flavor?
The mouthfeel, you've got the oats, so it's kind of got a soft texture, like a crumbly, not gritty,
yeah,
but it's got a texture to it.
Mm.
It's kind of like a savory apricot crumble.
No. No,
okay.
Not at all.
No.
I'm so sorry.
It couldn't be further from if you...
And picture like the most meat umami flavor that you can mixed with delicious, you know, onions and things like that and strong
herbs. My biggest issue with Scottish food...
and blood. It's got blood in it.
And blood. My biggest issue with Scottish food is there's like... and again, we will get to Leguizamo. Is that... it's all soft. It's all too soft. There's a lot of softness. And I feel like you haven't counted that. You've done soft and soft.
I have done soft and soft. Listen, it was born from boredom, this meal. I was like, you know what? Let's just have a fucking big fuck you to my body.
Mm.
That's right been now. Me the last 32 years of my life. And it feels
oh, me
good.
Too.
Every once in a while I have a day where like I'm like, let's be... good to myself. Doesn't last very long.
I'm
but
not
it's like
very...
I'm like the opposite of you, Ben.
No, I'm not very good with my body, but this was just a real flare up.
I have a controversial statement to make.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
Call here the cops.
Comes. Not here the place, not the
this
time.
This is Mish's hot take. Macaroni and cheese is overrated.
Nah.
Yes, it is.
I can't come with you on this journey.
I refuse to believe it. I think people dick on about mac and cheese so much. And like everyone's just like, oh, mac and cheese is like one of the best side dishes. Oh, I could really have got a hankering for a mac and cheese. I think it is always incredibly underwhelming.
Can I say, can I retort? And I reckon Ben's going to come in with something better. But I have to say to your statement, I want to rephrase it. I think mac and cheese is rarely as good as it should be. But I think that mac and cheese has the potential for greatness.
I think
just often let down by
I think
its
both
execution.
Of you suffer from not having good macaroni and cheese, and you both need to educate yourselves because you're actually...
Excuse me.
Have you
actually,
seen me,
you actually
Ben?
Feel real
Ben,
ignorant right now.
Ben,
did
I
not
look,
just
do
say...
I, yeah, hold on. Do I look like someone who has never eaten mac and cheese? Bitch, I've done my research. I've done years of it.
No, years of it.
And I have yet to find a mac and cheese that I've gone, that is the best thing on my plate.
Okay, well, I will say this. I would say that Australians don't know what the fuck they're talking about with macaroni and cheese. I would say that you need, if you want to have a mac and cheese conversation, you need to be talking to an American. And since
I'm an American.
Yeah, well, Prove it.
You're talking.
I've got a fucking citizenship, bitch. Show it I got to the me. Passport. My dad's from New Jersey, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, you need to go back to the motherland and fucking get in touch with your roots.
I think this is like a key thing. Anyone who's been to America, it's like it takes about half an hour before you end up going, well, you haven't actually had it until you've had it in America.
Also, that was the first time I'd ever announced proudly that I'm an American. That's the first time I've been something. I'm a fucking American. I rarely use that.
Just like any conversation about any food stuff. It's just like, oh, this is my opportunity to say, well,
I use it any chance I can get. I'm so annoying. I'd be like, well, as an American, I think it's my right. It's my right to do this. And you're like, sir, I'll get you a Coke.
When you
excuse
me,
I know my rights. How dare you?
How dare you? When you called me on your Twitch stream, when you randomly call people for your Twitch stream and you asked me my favorite sandwich, and I think that was meant to just be this broad question, like, oh, Vegemite sandwich. And I like went straight to the, well, there's this delightful delicatessen in Los Angeles. It's a bit of a tourist trap, but I just think their Reuben is fantastic.
Oh, God.
Classic. Because you're a foodie, Zach. You're a foodie as well. I mean, we're all foodies here, right?
Yeah.
We're all foodies here. Can we just fucking say that? Can we just fucking say this for once?
Can we wear that for once? Own it?
Can we just all own this?
All I'm saying is I'm sick of mac and cheese. I'm sick of people talking it up so much. I think until you can prove to me that there is a good mac and cheese, which is yet to happen.
I can tell you, I'll make you a mac and cheese.
You need to prove to yourself.
Yeah,
okay? I'll make you macaroni and cheese doesn't need to prove anything.
I'm the fucking problem.
Yeah.
I am the fucking problem.
All right.
Well, on that incredibly happy note, Ben, thank you so much for coming on and watching Ice Age with us.
Thanks very much. I'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye, Ben.
Bye. No, we really appreciate that you would sit through this. I'm really excited to talk about this one because this is a big one. This is a kind of a big, big moment for John Leguizamo. Do you have much of a relationship with John, Ben? Did you know him before this?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
You're like the first guest that has known John. Like,
oh, man, I love John Leguizamo. I loved his, I mean, probably, I would say one of his best performances is Romeo and Juliet.
That's
probably the most iconic. But, I mean, he's a comedian. He's a stand-up comic.
Mm-hmm.
He's made a transition into acting quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I mean, he's got such... He's been in some crazy iconic roles, usually as a supporting actor. Moulin Rouge, you know, and Ice Age, Spawn. Mm. He's in Spawn.
I haven't seen Spawn yet, but I'm fucking excited.
He's also in Whispers in the Dark, which was a mediocre erotic thriller from 1992 that we watched a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
and is he in John Wick? Is he in a John Wick?
Yes, he's in John Wick.
He got edited out of John Wick 2, but he is in John Wick 1 very much so, yeah. We love we can't wait to watch John Wick. He's also in, like, we can't tell you, this is something I didn't realize because we both loved him and we talk about it a bit in the podcast. We both love him, but he's done like 150 films.
Yeah.
And 10% of them are Ice Ages, and that's not a word of a lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
10% of his projects are Ice Ages, whether they be short films or mobile games.
Oh, wow.
But and then like there's like those great films you just mentioned, Romeo and Juliet, things. Chef, he's in Chef. And then there is literally 50 to 70 mediocre thrillers from the 90s and the 2000s. Like he has done so many of those VHS-y thrillers.
Which is absolute joy to my ears because they're my favorite kind of movie.
Yeah, he is the king of that. And he's also, he's a very much a supporting role, character, actor, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I just didn't realize until we started this podcast, like, he's got a plethora of voice acting and he's done a lot of animation, a lot of animation. They're all coming up. We'll be talking about him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He's done heaps. But this is his big one. This was his big, this was the... My kids are all going to the college of their dreams
definitely.
Movie that John signed on to.
I mean, this is the kind of franchise that you dream of. Not only is it voiceover work, which is nice and easy. You go in there for a couple of days. You probably have a week of recording. And then you get paid a really good, handsome amount. And Ice Age is such a big hit now, you know?
Mm.
You've got Scrunts, you know, Scrunt 1 and 2 and 3. You got so much Scrunt.
Oh, we're going to be watching all of them. It's going to be incredibly full on.
All the Ice Ages.
I can't
you got
stress
so
enough
much
to,
Scrunt.
I can't stress enough to our 10 to 12 listeners that we... This is not it. Like, you might be like, oh, Ice Age 1, 2, and 3. That's fun. No, no, my friend. Zach and I will be revisiting some form of Ice Age for the next 27 years.
Now, the thing that popped out to me, and you guys would probably attest to this, is just how far we've come in computer-generated animations since this was made out.
Oh, my God.
It's been massive. Look, I really want to talk about it. Before we do, I'll do our quick blurb. Like, I'm just going to do a quick blurb. On what Ice Age is about. But let's be fucking honest. If you haven't seen Ice Age, you're very young.
Probably. Ice Age is second. It's second only to Mr. Bean to being on the bus playlist on an excursion.
Yeah,
or a long trip.
Was Ice Age your? We've talked Ice about Age, this before. Was Ice Age yours? Mine was Cool Runnings.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Cool Runnings is always there. Yeah, Mr. Bean, of course, is number one and always will be. And I think, you know, until the end of time, that'll be playing on VHSs in buses. But I think Ice Age was absolutely up there.
Do you remember
The bus driver man would have just thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to mix up Mr. Bean. I could get me an Ice Age DVD.
Yeah.
Do you remember getting on a bus?
Get me an Ice Age DVD.
Do you remember getting on a bus to go on a school excursion and looking up and not seeing a TV? And getting real fucking
pissed off.
Getting it's really fucking pissed off at your teachers.
Off to mucking up and from Perth High. You look up. You're on the bus to mucking up and. Misha's got to do the intro.
Yeah, let me do the intro. I'll get through it as quickly as I can. But this is just a nice little walk down memory lane for anyone who hasn't seen Ice Age for a few years. Because let's be honest, everyone has fucking seen Ice Age. So. A few years ago, at the very brink of the Ice Age, a cynical mammoth named Manny, voiced by Ray Romano from that not very popular sitcom that still ran for a really long time and nobody really knew why. He is unwillingly paired up with a goofy and chatty sloth by the name of Sid, voiced by our mate John Leguizamo. Mm-hmm. Together, along with a broody saber-toothed tiger named Diego, voiced by Dennis Leary, they set out to return a human baby to his tribe. But Diego may not be who he seems to be, as he has a group of saber-toothed tiger mates that want to eat the mammoth and kill that baby. As the story unfolds, this unlikely trio of mammoth, sloth, and tiger form a super strong bond despite their obvious differences. It's all very cute. John Leguizamo voices Sid the Sloth, a clownish yet wily goofball with a thick, moist lisp and a longing to find someone to hang out with him.
Wow.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Thank you so
blurb,
much.
Mish. I think you really capture the heart. So people don't talk about, in my opinion, they talk about the fun. They talk about Scrat the Rat. They talk about...
Scrunt? Isn't it Scrunt?
They talk about Scrunt the Rat. I think it's... They talk about him and his acorn all the time.
How
they
do
talk
we
about the mobile
name?
Games. They talk about so much. But you know what they don't talk about? They don't talk about the heart.
Yeah, the heart of the film.
Heart of the film. Poor Ray Romano, who lost his family to a human hunter. Poor Dennis Leary, who lost some members of his tribe to a human hunter. This is a story of two blokey comedian voiced mammal things. Dealing with their prejudice towards humans.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Wasn't it nice?
Dietrich Bader is in this. That was a big one.
Who's this?
From the Drew Carey Show.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I didn't pick up on that.
Was he a dodo?
I think it says he was Oscar. Oscar. He was one of the saber teeth.
So was Jack Black.
No, Jack Black was a saber teeth. No. There was a dodo.
Not correct.
Not correct.
Jack Black is not in. Yes, he is. Sorry, I take it all back.
Oh my God, Ben.
I apologize. I'm feeling
incredibly personally attacked. Stop trying to call me out, man. You got me on the mac and cheese. You got me on the Jack Black. Just
I take that back. I would
up,
like to.
Mate.
I'd like to apologize publicly
Thank
to
you.
Mish for Mish.
Mush. Sorry.
The only way I'll forgive you is if you create a very public 45-minute apology video on YouTube.
I'm not going to do that.
All right. There's not much future for us then, mate.
Scrat, you're right. And I'm wrong again with Scrat. It is Scrat, not Scrunt.
I thought you were doing Scrunt as a bit, so I was going with it.
I just did that from memory. I've always thought he was named Scrunt.
That works too. I loved Scrunt. I loved Scrunt. I loved all of those characters. I got nothing.
Which one?
Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really good. I think that you touched on something really, really interesting before though, Zach, about Diego and Manny. I'm very confused because they had this great opportunity to create three very, very different characters that all come together. The only difference between Manny and Diego is the type of animal they are.
And Diego wanted to kill them.
That's true. Diego wanted to munch them and Manny was just a grump. It's my dream, and I'm not this sort of performer because I'm not very good at acting. But also, I'm not the sort of performer that does this, but it's my dream to one day play like a grumpy, hurt character that just step by step shows their heart, like does little things like, get out of here, baby human. And then the baby human does something cute and it's like, you know what? You're not so bad. And then there's just a lot of that in this movie. Like,
yeah.
The saber-tooth. She's like, I was going to eat you. But you know what? You're all right.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's not a lot of growth. There's just kind of automatic switches that are thrown to make them change tack.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What were you saying before I read the blurb, though, Ben, about the audio, about voice?
I said that it's a big, obviously we've made huge breakthroughs in animation, but also in the voice recording, in this film, I felt is real bad. I don't know if it was just my copy that I got, or, you know, something wrong with my computer, but there were some that had a tinny echo, especially to some of the, throwaway lines. There was
a real sense that, like, more than anyone, I think for some reason Dennis Leary must have been hot property in 2002, because like there was a real sense they had one recording session with Leary. He was going to do one read of each line and then they would have to work around it. I've never been more aware of like every actor doing their own little performance and like not in a room together. It's just like You got John doing something really quite good in one corner, and then Dennis Leary just being like, oh, I'm a mean tiger. And then you got Ray Romano doing his Ray Romano thing.
Yeah, I think Ray does a good... I think you're right. I mean, I think that Leary was obviously saw Toy Story and was like, I want a Tim Allen moment in this.
Yes! Just the concept that Tim Allen and Dennis Leary are like... enemies. They hate each other. They fucking hate each other.
I mean, Dennis Leary doesn't seem like a very nice person.
How's this?
And that just because he wrote that song called "I'm an Asshole."
Wait, is this real? Fuck off!
He's brusque. There's a lot of like brusque. This is a movie about brusque male comics who just can't stand their wives, but this time they're mammals and they're sad.
I mean, that is a good point. Ice Age, the three leads are all huge stand-up comedians. They could do an Ice Age tour together, you know, and sell out stadiums.
I'm sure it's in the works, Ben, to be completely honest. They are milking. The people with all the Ice Age money are milking this as much as they can.
As if they wouldn't. I would. It's I would massive. Milk it for everything.
With the Dennis Leary thing, though, I think there's just a part of my brain that couldn't hold on to Dennis Leary. So I didn't know what Dennis Leary had been in or where we've seen him before, except he's the dad in the Sandlot Kids.
Is he?
Yes. I looked at his face when I looked up his face and I went, that's the dad from the Sandlot. And he's also been in the Thomas Crown Affair.
Well, I didn't realize that. He was in Demolition Man.
Dennis Leary's been in so much. Dennis Leary's one of those people where I was like, who's doing that saber-toothed tiger? And then I Googled it and I was like, oh, it's Dennis Leary. And then I was like, the next step was like, I can't think of anything I've ever seen Dennis Leary in. He just always has and always will be.
Mm.
And I just thought, yeah, Dennis Leary. Good for Dennis Leary.
Good on him.
Good on Dennis Leary.
But
now, okay. I think to John Leguizamo's credit, he carries this film comedically.
Oh, 100%. I would be willing to bet that if Sid the Sloth, A, was not in the film, like the character, or John Leguizamo didn't voice him, this movie would not have done well. Like, it just might not have done very well. Is that fair to say?
I think Leguizamo definitely brings... He's got that voice, you know, that very distinct Leguizamo timbre to his vocal, you know, range that I really enjoy, that everyone enjoys. And you want to? There's a little bit of trivia that I learned.
I want some trivia real bad.
Leguizamo actually tried a bunch of different voices for Sid.
There you go. Oh.
But he watched a documentary about how sloths keep food in their mouths. And so it was like, aha, aha, I will make it have a lisp. Boom. Sid was created.
It was born.
Yeah.
Touching on...
That's truth in comedy right there.
That's exactly what it's all about. If you don't... And this is the thing. You must... Do your research as an actor, because you might not even know what you're using, but you will use that research when you're on the floor, when you're on the stage.
You think Dennis Leary did that? No. He's a fucking saber-toothed tiger. You don't think a saber-toothed tiger would have some kind of lisp? Fuck. What the fuck, Leary?
I was in a professional theatre production once, and I met a man, and he was smoking a cigarette, and he looked at me and he said, you know, he's like, oh, you're doing some vocal warm-ups, are you? Well, here's my vocal warm-up. Puff, puff, puff. And then he put out his cigarette. That was his vocal warm-up. And I think, you know what? He's probably not going to be a superstar like Leguizamo with Sid the Sloth. That's my opinion.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. But you would think that if you had tusks like a saber-toothed tiger, you probably wouldn't sound like Dennis Leary.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? And, like, again, touching on the fact that, like, very clearly Ray Romano, Dennis Leary, John Leguizamo, very male-dominated cast.
Mm-hmm.
They then pick up a baby who's also a little boy to return to his father. Lots of men. Mm-hmm. There were some female characters in it, though.
I adored this. There was some little lady sloths. There was a point where Sid the Sloth was hitting on some lady sloths, and the way that they the way that they showed that they were lady sloths is they gave them boobies and
they gave
and
them sloth titties. I wrote that down. I said
you write down sloth titties.
I wrote down sloth titties.
Yeah, it's like they all the animators sat around and went, "All right, cool. So we've got some women." Animals now, but how do we differentiate between a female sloth and a male sloth? Like,
how about we give them some sloth titties?
Let's get some boobies, a couple of cheeky boobies.
Let's put some titties on these sloths. But this is my favorite note in all of my notes: is lady sloths with boobs and hair on their heads. They just had little wigs, little. It was the film didn't have a strong design aesthetic. And then I think it really trumped them when they needed to represent lady sloths.
Yeah, but I just wonder, like, at what the guy who'd been drawing Sid the whole time probably also drew that little squirrel cunt, and then like probably was drawing a mammoth. It was like whatever. Mm. And it was like, oh, now we have to draw the female sloths that are hanging out in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, it really okay. has.
And him just sitting there at like 3 a.m. with a joint, and his like no pants on, just drawing some titties. Sloth tits.
Oh man, what would a sloth look like if it was sexy, eh? That's a good point with the design, the art design of this film. It is a very bland looking film.
It's literally like the sloths look like sloths, the mammoths look like mammoths, the ice looks like ice.
Yeah, the environments are just so bland, and I think that's probably the constraints of the time with the animation. But
Toy Story managed okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I was looking at the furry mammoth because the wool on the mammoth just sort of moves like a single unit. And I was like, oh, it's because they hadn't done Monsters, Inc. yet. Like Monsters, Inc., like I watched, like innovated fur in digital animation. And then I Googled it and it was a year after Monsters, Inc.
Oh, wow.
But also like Shrek wouldn't have been that far off Ice Age either.
Shrek looks more rat shit than you remember. Go back and watch Shrek. It looks so much more rat shit than you remember.
No, I mean, I watched Trek recently, just for fun.
Yes, you do.
and it's still, compared to this, a lot more vibrant.
Because it's got an aesthetic.
The environments are a little bit more realized. Here it's just ice, cliff, ice, dirt.
Scrat.
Lava at one point.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool to see a bit of orange. Then that being said then, what do you think... Why do you think that this movie was so fucking successful?
I mean, marketing.
Yeah, good marketing.
Yeah, it was definitely a Happy Meal toy. 100% this was a Happy Meal toy.
I think it was pushed real hard. But also, it's nice and easy, and it is marketed towards young kids. So I think this is a younger age bracket of kids than, say, even Shrek or definitely Toy Story. So this is a younger... childhood film to that. So this is something you buy on DVD or VHS and you get the kids in young.
You chuck it on. I reckon Sid the Sloth, in all seriousness, is a very... I don't think the movie would have done well without legs. Now, I know that we say that and I know this is the Leguizamarama podcast, but I reckon without legs in it, I think it would have been a bit...
Would have had no legs.
Would have had no legs. He was the legs. Would have
had no legs.
He's the legs.
I also think that the lady sloths with the boobs definitely helped it.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's like surely it was a kid's film, but then they were like, we need to appeal to the parents as well.
But it was like, also progressive.
That's the beauty of very, very good animation. All right, well, then we'll just chuck on some little sloth titties. Little ones. Make them big. Make them real bulbous.
Because you've got
LGBTQI element in it with the gay rhinoceroses.
Yeah, oh, yes. they were some of my favorites. I loved them.
Yes, you did. And you had, that's it. That's all I've got.
I'd like to imagine the lady sloths maybe like growling each other out or something like that.
That pack of saber-toothed tigers, those male saber-toothed tigers. There's something a bit homoerotic in that.
I'm just looking at Ice Age porn videos on Pornhub right now.
What have you found?
No, there's nothing.
There's nothing?
No. Ice Age cartoon. Oh, wait, here we go. Nah, there's some just really fucked up shit, but it's nothing.
Nothing.
What fucked up shit did you find when you typed in Ice Age porn?
There's a lot of animated furry porn animation.
Can we watch Sid the Sloth being railed by Ray Romano Mammoth? This is my question.
Sex with Manny Mammoth.
Because it might just be that there's an image, a still image.
Oh no, here we go. Let's have a look here. Scrat gets fucked by his acorn for 9 minutes.
And how is that? How is that video, Ben?
This is just a looped bit of a part of a film that an acorn, seems to. It seems like it's legit. It seems like in the film he gets fucked by an acorn.
God, that's got to be like Dawn of the Dinosaurs. That's got to be towards the end. Like, yeah. You know, when they're really running out, you know, come number three or four and they're like, dinosaurs are still around. And then it's like the next step after that is Scrat fucks his acorn.
Why are dinosaurs still around? Didn't the Ice Age...
That's the case in number one and number two. And then in number three, they needed to sell more. So I think dinosaurs are in the third one. Scrat and a Tyrannosaurus Rex. I never saw that film, but I saw posters for it. And I'm going to watch it, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to watch that. No.
I don't think I've seen the third one. No, I don't think I have.
Why
seen the
would
third
you
one.
Have seen the third one?
I don't know. I'd seen the first and the second. Pretty sure I saw those in cinema, to be honest.
Wow.
Well, with my mum. My mum always enjoyed a Disney film. Don't know how much you enjoy it after I tell her that Scrat fucks his acorn for a good chunk of time.
I mean, I was just too old for this stuff. It didn't really appeal to me. I was probably a teen when this happened. I was too busy, you know. I wanted action flicks and stuff, you know.
Mm.
Would you have, if someone had told you as a horny teenager that there were sexy sloths in it, if that had been a bigger part of the marketing campaign, would you have considered watching it?
Yeah. Always on the lookout for something for the old spank bank, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you think that there was any adult man at all in the history since 2002 to today that watched Ice Age and cracked a bit of a fat at the booby sloths?
Yes. I can say there was at least one. I can say with...
Oh, God. It was... I don't know. I think that... I'm hoping that coming with the second and the third and all the other fucking Ice Ages that come with this, it gets a little bit better. And I thought... I was really excited to see it because I thought, considering the hype of Ice Age, I hadn't seen it since it came out. I thought it was going to be like a Toy Story, like a Shrek kind of moment. And we just didn't really get... I didn't really get that. Other than...
I'm sorry. Okay.
I think it attempted to do that, but it was the main... I feel like the main sort of directive for the script was physical action, you know, and slapstick comedy.
Mm.
It was definitely directed towards little children. Whereas I feel like kids. Toy Story hedged its bets with between, you know, having that... it was for kind of everyone, but also maybe a little bit too old for the same kids that watched Ice Age.
It had a couple of moments, though. Like, I can't imagine a kid would understand what Taekwondo is. And I thought that was very funny.
That was very funny. The dodos are a highlight. Also, this is, unlike a lot of Pixar films, this is a kids' film in which the bad guy is murdered.
Absolutely. There was a real... They really went for, like, the Lion King ending. Gave you a bit of everything, this movie. It was a bit silly. And then they had the Lion King ending, but a kind of half-assed Lion King ending.
Mm.
Plus, the lady died at the start. Like, she gave them their baby and then, like, died.
I have something to
pretty
say about that.
On. I'm
okay,
sure you
so,
do.
Oh, I do. So, okay. The saber-toothed tigers attack the human camp, right? And the woman runs off with her baby and a tiger follows them. And then she ends up jumping down a waterfall with the baby so that she doesn't get mauled by the saber-toothed tiger. She is then found by Manny the Mammoth and Sid the Sloth on a riverbank with the baby. And Manny looks and they look at them and she gives them the baby to look after. She's not that bad. Like,
nah, she's not.
It's
she's
meant
not,
to
like,
be like
up or anything.
No,
she
it's like it almost
any,
looks
like
she's trying to be like, please look after my baby. I'm dying. I'm about to die. I need you to look after my baby. And she hands it over to a mammoth. What a psychopath. Mm. But she hands over a baby to a mammoth. She's honest, she's awake. She has enough energy to lift her baby onto the just get up, get out of the water. Mm. Get out of the water.
Help her out.
If this mammoth is willing to look after your baby, I'm almost positive he'd help you too.
Now, like, yeah, that's not the only plot hole that I found in this film.
It's the only one I found. Other than that, it was like a documentary. That part was flawed. Anyway, sorry, go on, Ben. What were you saying?
No. I agree with what you're... I felt like that was... I feel like that's where we could have used a little bit of that Toy Story sadness injected in, you know, that, little, that Pixar sadness. Of, yeah.
A little Ooh, sprinkle of magic, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I hear you, Ben. I hear you, sir.
But the main thing that I saw was that they, okay, there's a sequence where Sid climbs up a hill and is tired and he collapses down and then a geyser blows him up into the air.
Mm.
First off, he would not have survived that geyser.
Oh, that would have killed him. No, would have blown him to bits. Yeah.
Would have boiled him alive. Severe burns. Dead.
Awful. Yes.
And then Manny the Mammoth says, well, that's why they call it Old Faithful. So that then places them in... they're in Yosemite, right?
Yep.
I believe that's where Old... So is that Yosemite or Yellowstone? I get those two big boys confused.
Yeah.
I think it's Yosemite. Yeah. I should have done some research. So let's there's just...
A, that's all right. So we should have too.
There's definitely... There's also like a bit where like where there's images of Sabretooth's eating... like it's cave art of Sabretooth's eating some antelope and Sid the Sloth tries to comfort the child by saying, no, no, don't worry. They're just playing tag. They're just playing tag. And I think like why... That places it, again, yeah, at least post, like, I think 1800s at least. Mm. And also, like, how is it bringing comfort to this child, like a concept that won't exist for 7,000 years at the least?
Yeah.
So it's in Yellowstone. My apologies to Old Faithful. I'd like to really apologize. It's in Yellowstone National Park mm-hmm. is where Old Faithful Geyser is.
Mm. Yeah.
And then... Sorry, just one second.
No,
please.
And then in the same montage, which is that beautiful song montage, they pass Stonehenge, which is in Wiltshire, England. Yeah. So they want us to believe that either, you know, I'm not sure the state of the continents in Ice Age. Maybe it was some kind of Gondwana land.
Mm.
But probably not, I would say.
No, yeah, and I mean the druids built that structure. Mm. Like, surely it was pretty much England when they built it. I don't think that structure would have handled that much of an amount of continent shifting.
No,
and so also they had like anteaters with New York accents.
Yeah,
you know, like, where did they come from?
Yeah, that's true.
How did that accent develop?
It's important to talk about plot holes like this so that they can improve.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Another thing in terms of like, I suppose you could call this a plot hole. It's just almost like it took me out of the reality of the Ice Age film. And I was like, that would never happen. They went into like an ice cave, right, to avoid the saber-toothed tigers. No. They went into an ice cave because Diego keeps them away from the humans. And while in there, they drop the baby and the baby starts sliding down this like very long, very deep slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all end up going off on slides as well to try and catch the baby. And it goes for a very long time. Just quick side note. This is the second movie so far already that we've watched where John Leguizamo goes down an ice slide.
Why is this a side note? I feel like this needs to be like... It's Super Mario Brothers.
Wow, you watched that one.
The Goomba mattress scene. It's very good.
It's like sorry, Mish. I actually have to like do a little time out there and say, like, why is that a side note? That's like that should be the key like point of the thesis here. How has he been in two movies with ice slides? I feel like an ice slide shouldn't be in that many movies, let alone one person's filmography.
Oh, for sure. I would be willing to say that any movie made after 1990 that features an ice slide also features John Leguizamo in some way.
It's like, I feel like an ice slide needs to be like a key component to all of his films. If there's not an ice slide in Waco when we watch it next week, I'll be very disappointed.
I'm expecting to see an ice slide in all his projects. John Wick, we've got that coming up soon. If Keanu Reeves and the guy who sells him a car... aren't going on an adventurous ice slide about two-thirds of the way through the film, I'm not going to function properly. I'm going to be mad.
Bullshit.
You know, but also, I wish that I had gone and seen, with this podcast, 2001 11, me was in New York. And I was walking down Broadway.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
And there was a big poster for a John Leguizamo stage show called Ghetto Clown.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I wish that I could go back in time and say, Ben, go.
Go to that show.
Pay $180 or $200 and go.
I'm fairly sure you can watch it. You can watch a recording of it, which is what Zach and I are relying on at some point when we need to review it. You can watch a recording of it, but it's never the same thing as really going to see him.
No, it's not the same thing. You gotta there.
Go. Imagine being doing a one man, a one person.
Bless you.
Oh, bless you.
Bless
Ben.
You, Ben. We don't edit, you see, so we can't pretend you didn't just do that.
No, it's all right. I need to get a tissue. 1 second. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Do you reckon you'll edit this, Zach?
No. So, I was going to say, Mish, what do you reckon would happen if you were in a one-person show and you had to, like, entertain 1,000 people? I reckon that would be a tough ask.
It would be a very tough ask. Of course it would. You've had to do that before, man. What the fuck are you talking about?
Not one person. I was just saying how hard it would be to do a one-man show, like... Broadway one-person show would be very difficult. It's a lot of people. It's every night. You'd get pretty puffed, I reckon.
I reckon it'd be exactly the same as performing to, you know, a solo show anywhere else in the world.
Oh, I reckon
if anything, it'd be a bit easier because you've got those beautiful theatres.
Yeah, actually, I take everything I just said back. You've got beautiful theatres. You've got over-eager tourist crowds. You don't have to tour. You've got your spot. That sounds sick.
I mean, John's at the after. So that show was released that you're talking about was released in 2011, and the beauty of that is the man had already signed on to Ice Age, and God knows how many other Ice Age movies he would have had to sign. He can have a failed show. He's fine.
Yeah.
Like everything he's failed since 2002, which is when Ice Age came out.
Mm.
Any project he's done that has not, like smacked it out of the ballpark, he's fine. It's fine. He's going to do another Ice Age in 2 years, so that'll just boost him up again and he'll be okay. So now he's got the freedom to be able to, you know, flop in front of a 1,000 seat audience in a one-man show.
Well, in
although
a way
apparently
that's...
it was a very successful show.
Yeah. You're not afraid. I don't think, like, I think that it having the success that John Leguizamo has is like, you could either take it one of two ways. You could either feel that pressure and be afraid to take risks for fear of failure since you've had such good success, or you could do what I think John Leguizamo does, which is that success takes the pressure off you so you don't have to be afraid of that failure anymore. You've already proven yourself. You've already gotten that safety net financially so that you can take more creative risks.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people that aren't Zach and I probably wouldn't know that John has been working his little booty off in the industry since the late 80s. And it's not like he just signed onto Ice Age and got really lucky. He'd worked really hard up until that point. So when he finally gets his cash cow, it's like, well, great. Now I get to kind of like do all the things that I wanted to do.
You literally see it on the IMDb page. You see like a person who's working, like saying yes to jobs, like auditioning for things, trying. Like if not auditioning, then at least like his agent's hustling and he has to say yes to things. Then Ice Age happens and then it's just like,
I mean, I would love to do that. That's like for me on a smaller thing, that's like getting a massive commercial.
Yes, yeah, 100%.
Oh, I don't know, Ben. I've been watching my TikToks. I see you pop up in your 7-Eleven commercials every once in a while.
Well, that's not a massive commercial. That's an
we're talking
that's
like
an online
Amy,
commercial.
We're talking like an Amy sort of money. We're talking iiNet guy.
Oh, iiNet guy.
Yellow Pages Jan. Not Happy Jan.
Oh, yeah. Just like you're not allowed to. You know those ones where they're like, you're not allowed to do any other ads.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to do your theatre and
we're
your
talking
comedy.
Yui. We're talking Yui, dude.
Yeah. We're talking like a sort of a Colgate kind of, I represent this brand. When you think this brand, you think my face kind of.
Like yeah. The Subway Yui. Guy.
Oh. And that's when that goes dark.
Who's the Subway guy?
Jared from Subway?
Yeah.
Jared from Subway.
How much did they pay him?
They paid him too much. That was a man.
But he can't enjoy his
everything.
Money now, Ben. He's in jail.
Why is he in jail?
Because he's a paedophile, Ben.
Because
you
bad,
know what happened, Ben?
Bad
you know
man,
what happened?
Ben.
Subway gave, they took away the pressures of life and he took on vice and he took on avarice and greed. And that is what happens when you get a big ad. You
become, so Subway created a pedophile?
I think so. I believe so. And I'm willing to put that on the record. You can quote me on that.
Subway creates pedophiles as well as fresh food.
I have to say, we talked about the dodos very briefly, but I really want to talk about the dodos because what I feel like the dodos were, because there was a group of dodos that died and they also knew Kung Fu Dodo. What was it called?
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo.
That is so clever.
Mm.
It's very clever because it's like Taekwondo, but they add a do and it's Taekwondo-do. And I feel like the amount of times this movie tried, it's like people think of Scrat and how like iconic Scrat is. It's like, that's because there's like 50 attempts at this movie's Minion or this movie's Spider Pig. It's just like, this movie is just like, we don't really need to do a plot. We don't really need a strong design aesthetic. If we have our Spider Pig, we're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Scrat.
They're just like, all right, so there's Scrat. But if Scrat doesn't work, we got the dodos that do Kung Fu Dodo. If they don't work.
We got those New York anteaters.
We've got the New Yorker. And one of these things, even though it doesn't exist yet, one of these things are going to be our Spider Pig. I'll feel it in my bones. If we get our Spider Pig.
The Taekwondo-dos were my favourites. I loved them. I've never really connected with Scrat like the rest of the world did. Like he's got one joke. You know what I mean? It's one fucking joke.
I mean, this is DreamWorks, isn't it?
No, this is Fox. Oh, 20th Century Fox, Blue Sky Studios, which doesn't exist anymore because you know that Disney has enough animation studios, so they shut it down.
Oh right, so this is Disney.
Technically, yeah, it's technically Disney now. It's my favorite thing about Disney, the Disney acquisition of Fox, was all the articles that were like, what happens to the X-Men now? And like, is Ice Age a Disney? Is Scrat a Disney princess now? Just like, meanwhile, you go to like Deadline and it's like 5,000 laid off as Disney shuts down another department in 20th century. What does this mean for Hugh Jackman's Wolverine? The now, centralization.
Did you know? There's a little bit of thing for the dodos, right?
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of irony, a little bit of historical irony in this.
I'm getting ready.
Because all those dodos died, but as a species, the dodo actually outlived all of those animals.
Wow. Did you just Google that? Where are you getting these facts from, Ben?
IMDb trivia.
Yeah, because I was just like, is he going like dodo facts and going down that path, or is he just got the IMDb trivia up?
Yeah, just got the dodos sick, were wiped out around the mid to late 17th century, whilst woolly mammoths died out 10,000 years ago, and ground sloths that became extinct at 2500 BC. Saber-toothed tigers wiped out 10,000 BC, and Neanderthals were obviously wiped out by
Daryl Hannah.
Yeah.
The dodos like smashed it.
Well, dodos were around I'm pretty sure there's like humans just studied the dodos. Like there's like pictures of dodos this movie was a bit
it's flawed.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that Ice Age didn't have a real adherence to historical accuracy.
No, man, they didn't give a fuck.
No, they're not at all. They didn't care. They were like, do you know what's really easy and cheap? The color white. Let's just put, like, what movie can we make? What can we make where the main color palette is just white and brown? Oh, I don't know, like something set in ice. Ice Age, that's with the mammoths. They're
brown.
What was those
things at the start where they were like, there was those fucked looking things and they were like, where's your husband? And she's like, he reckons he's the next step of evolution. And then there's a shot of him trying to fly.
Oh, those weird things. I don't know what they were.
And it's just this, there's just this real moment where I'm like, is this film implying that a group of like sentient mammals 10,000 years ago worked out the theory of evolution and then that knowledge was forgotten for tens of thousands of years?
Mm.
Is that what this film is implying?
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
It's sad though, because all of these things about historical accuracy and audio issues, I really didn't want them to be there, because I was really hoping when it came to doing our Leguizamo scores that I would be able to be like, you know what? This is quintessential John Leguizamo. But unfortunately, I think all of those things have kind of affected my overall feelings about the film and my overall Leguizamo-iness of the movie. Mm. Is that wrong, man?
I fully disagree with you. I think the movie was fine. Like, the movie was fine. It was a fine film.
It
was a fine film. The aesthetic was lacking. It was exactly what Ben said. You put the DVD on, get the kids to watch it while you make scones in the kitchen. But in terms of a Leguizamo score, so for Ben, for the record, we give the film a score out of 5 Leguizamos. It's not stars, it's its own thing. You can make of it what you want. In terms of a Leguizamo score, Leguizamo is a lead. Leguizamo is doing a funny voice. Mm. Leguizamo carries the movie. Like, fucked Dennis Leary would have been swimming on his own without him, his working. I don't think the film would have done well without Leguizamo.
I agree. If Dennis Leary was the face of Ice Age.
In all the trivia for Ice Age, it's like, these persons were, you know, considered for the role. This person was considered for Manny. This person was considered for Diego. At no point does it really state that if there were any other alternatives cast for Leguizamo. So we have to assume that this role was written with John Leguizamo in mind.
Do you know Shrek was originally Chris Farley? That's like a pretty like established thing. Before he tragically passed away. That's a bit full on. He was going to be Shrek. And it's like, the thing is, right, Mike Myers is incredible as Shrek. The Scottish accent is iconic. But that film still would have been great with Chris Farley in it. Still would have been really, really good. Mm-hmm. This movie would have had nothing without legs.
I made an error, and I sincerely apologize to Ice Age and to you guys. I really want to apologize. Okay, it looks like Johnny Knoxville and Dave Foley were considered for the role of Sid.
Oh, ridiculous. God, imagine if Johnny Knoxville played Sid.
Terrible. What a waste.
I was really worried you'd come in with someone like really strong, just a really strong.
I mean, Dave Foley's not bad, but I can't. He's in more of a neurotic voice character.
He's not leggy.
Do you think that Ray Romano, as he was in the middle of his Everybody Loves Raymond fame, do you think that he went into this movie thinking he would be the standout voice actor because he is Ray Romano? Or do you think I have a feeling that after this movie came out and Manny wasn't the like big beloved character, it was Sid the Sloth, that might have pissed Ray Romano off a little bit.
Well, I think he would have come in knowing that it was an ensemble piece shared by the three leads. But I think that you always have a hope that yours is going to be the most beloved. And well, Manny is definitely not the least beloved. I mean, I would say Diego would probably be the least likable and charismatic.
Poor Dennis.
Of the characters. I think that you would be a little bit, you know. But at the end of the day, who gives a fuck? You're still getting paid. And not only that, but you've got two more sequels on the way. So
Ray was fun.
Ray Romano. I reckon he's pretty chill. I get a vibe from Ray Romano that he's very... Maybe that's the bit He does, you know, because Deborah's always at him. She's always at
Deborah.
Him. Deborah's always going, well, do the dishes. And he doesn't care too much. Mm. That's what I imagine. No, but I think he was just like, yeah, I'll do the film. And clearly the guy that's playing the silly sloth's going to, like, take it and run. Mm. He's not, like, trying to carry the film. You know what I mean? No. He's not there trying to. He's very confident. I feel like Dennis Leary's really in it, whereas like I feel like Ray's very confident that whoever they cast as the sloth is gonna carry this film.
Yeah,
he's
I
really
mean,
letting him take it.
Ray is the emotional sort of core of the film.
Mm.
Yes,
you writing that down, Mish?
No. No, there was just a certain moment when you finished that sentence and I had, like, my brain wasn't working and I had to piece together every part of what you just said. I was like, Ray, yes, was, yeah, cool, got it. The emotion, yep, got it. It just took me a while to get what you said, but no, I agree with you. He got the big weepy scene, didn't he? Where he's looking at the big rock with the drawings.
He didn't do any dialogue in that. It was a silent scene. I thought, isn't that great? Ray Romano just rocks up. All he has to do is say things like, get over here, sloth, and... you're all right, kid. And then, but then someone animates a beautiful performance about him losing his family. And then we give Ray Romano credit for a great performance. That's a real win-win for Ray Romano.
Really is.
Yeah.
Who is actually a great actor, we've since learned in various films. Like, phenomenal actor, which is very big twist.
Mm.
Such a twist. So, Zach, your Leguizamo score then?
4.5.
Hit us up.
Four and a half
Leguizamos.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think this is a star vehicle for him. I think he shines. Mm. I think he carries this movie. And it's been my thesis for a while now that he's not a character actor. He's a leading man and a comedic performer that got put into the character actor role, and this movie is proof that he's a leading man.
Do you think the reason why he isn't a leading man has a little bit to do with the whitewashing in Hollywood?
Oh, it's
all
right. Oh, it's 100%.
Yeah, we've been like alluding to it and being like, oh, you know, not for us. But yeah, 100%. He's as good as, he should be as big as Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio.
He is as good an actor. He is as attractive. Mm-hmm. But he ain't white.
And he can do comedy. Different. He can do comedy.
Yeah, and he's very, very funny. He can do everything, really. Like he's very, very versatile.
His performance as Tybalt makes me
incredible.
I watched a clip of it, like when we first, I was like trying to find different snippets to kind of put together a like thing for Instagram or some bullshit. And I rewatched this one snippet of him as Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet, and it was just the most fucking incredible thing I've ever seen. He's insanely good. But
he should have got an Oscar nom for that.
Sorry?
He should have got an Oscar nom.
No, I don't think he got nominated.
Should have.
Yeah, absolutely. But like Zach and I spent like 3 or 4 days going over his filmography and trying to categorize everything. And I'm talking like 99.5% of the time he is a sidekick character or secondary to, but he's never like 99.5% of the time he's not a romantic lead, and it blows my mind that he was given so few opportunities to be able to have that moment, to have the McConaughey moment, to have the Brad Pitt moment, the DiCaprio moment.
I would love to see him have a renaissance.
We're calling it the
Leguilution. I think that he's up for it. I think that, I mean, both Raymond Romano's making plans for a big Renaissance. And Romanaissance.
Romanaissance
is very. And I think that now is a perfect time for Leguizamo to pop back into the zeitgeist.
What did they call Jeff Goldblum's one? Because I reckon that's where like the Leguizamo. Like you go that the guy who played Tybalt. Like we should make Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet should be like his whatever the fuck he was doing in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people should be like, fuck, the cunt from... Let's make a Tybalt meme. Anyone who's good at memes?
They did go, oh, fuck, that cunt from Romeo and Juliet. He's very good. But then they were just like, he's very good. That's it. It's like, well, no, keep him work. Give him things. Keep
well, I
him
feel
working.
Like obviously, Romeo and Juliet director man.
Baz Luhrmann
appreciates the Gazams.
Mm.
He does, and that's why we think of him. Yeah, Luhrmann's great for Gazams.
Gazams.
Oh well, arguably, John Leguizamo is one of the best parts of Moulin Rouge as well.
He's so good in Moulin Rouge. Yeah,
for sure.
There you go. Little trips to Sydney. He's just done these little trips to Sydney to shoot some great parts.
That all being said. I went into this with a 5 Leguizamo mind, but I've come out with a 4 Leguizamo score.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that 4 is purely because he carries this film. It's on his back, this 4 Leguizamos, as you know. I just found a lot of it kind of annoying. I would consider chucking in a 0.5 Leguizamo for the sloth titties, but because Stonehenge was in the middle of Yellowstone Park. It gets removed again. So we're back to 4.
Yeah. I mean, this is a kids movie. It's for kids. It's not for us. Mm-hmm. I never really connected with Ice Age, but it's not offensive. It's not offensively bad. It's something that kind of just, like, I forgot that I was watching it halfway through and then would just can pop back in and pop back out. It's the type of film that parents have had to sit through replay after replay after replay after replay. Probably, you know, there are some parents out there that have probably watched this, you know, 300 times.
Mm.
Easy.
They like welcomed Dawn of the Dinosaurs because they were like, at least we can mix it up a little.
Yeah. So I think that it's definitely a classic. It's definitely in the zeitgeist. I'm going to give this a 4.5, and I won't give it a 5 because I think that 5, spoiler alert, is reserved for Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, we're holding off the 5s. I've been giving out a lot of 4.5s.
Mm.
Mish got really mad at me. He was in an ABC, like American ABC miniseries called Arabian Nights.
Not worth no more than 2 Leguizamos, Ben.
And I gave it 4.5 Leguizamos because it's all about a lady telling stories. And at the end of the first of 2 episodes, she said to the guy that was keeping her prisoner, "I will tell you the next story tomorrow night." And that was the character in world telling all of us in the year 2000 that the next episode was on tomorrow night. And I thought that was just so clever. That was just so clever how they incorporated that into the script.
Beautiful.
That gave it like at least 1.5 Leguizamos in my book.
Is it nice to be doing a podcast that's set in present day?
I cannot express to you. Do you know what, though? It's harder as well because it's very structureless. The old podcast, you could just go, "Oh, I don't know what to do." And then you could just say something like, "Oh, how good's Facebook?
Pogs.
How good's Pogs?" Whereas now we have to be like, "Oh, we're all locked in our houses."
Mm.
There's nothing on that. We're just all sad in our houses.
Of course, the last time we had you on a podcast, Ben, it was on our recaps show. That anyone who hasn't come over from our recaps show, we did a review podcast on MasterChef Australia season 1 that we set in 2009. And when we asked Ben to come on and have him watch 3.5 hours of MasterChef, we forgot to tell him that it was set in 2009 until we were like, okay, we're about to press record. Oh, by the way, Ben, you know it's set in 2009. He's like, nah. Didn't know that. Nah. Is probably my favorite episode that we recorded from recaps was the Ben Russell episode. So please have a listen if you can. Zach, can you read a review?
Yeah. So give us reviews. We only read out the 5 stars. So where is it? Let me just pull that up. All right, here we go. Oh, no.
What did you do?
Oh, no, that's all good. Lex Squizzit from Mazza Dazza. I give this podcast 5 Mission Zakuizamos.
Good wordplay there, Mazza Dazza.
Queef, 5 stars from Getting Legs. I like when Mish said queef. Of course, if you haven't listened to all the episodes, Mish accidentally said queef a few weeks ago. So that's good to bring that back.
Wait, are you reading 5-star reviews from your own podcast? I thought you were reading reviews from Ice Age.
No, because that doesn't give us any advantage in the podcasting.
No, Ben, don't be silly.
Why would we read reviews of Ice Age? That would make sense. And there's nothing sycophantic about that.
What is wrong with you?
What are we doing?
Did you, at the very least, Ben, did you enjoy watching Ice Age more than you enjoyed watching MasterChef?
Yes.
Great.
So much. MasterChef is one of the worst television shows out there. At least it might not have been then, but now it certainly is. It is nothing more inane and boring. Ben? I couldn't be less excited. I've actually reached the nadir of my excitement.
I don't know, Ben. I think that in a sense you should be thanking us. We gave you the Crockenbush episode.
That is true. I did get the Crockenbush episode, the very first one.
Yeah.
What a delight and a privilege.
What a delight. Ben, thank you so much for joining us on Mission Zach's Legwasamarama. If people want to follow you on all your socials, what should they look up?
Go onto Twitter and go Ben Russells.
Russells.
And that'll take you to my Twitter. Now, if you want to see my... symbol. I do a little Twitch. I do a little Twitch on the Twitcherspheres, which I'm, I do a bunch of different things on there. Go to Bonmember. Bonmember. And throw me a follow. See what the fuck happens. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you...
You're reckless.
I'm a rogue. I'm a rogue knight. Drifting in the wastes of Victoria. Fighting the good fight. Protecting the weak.
I'm really, really appreciative that you came on, Ben. You're one of my favourites and I'm always incredibly intimidated to have a chat with you on one of these things because you're so fucking good.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I actually have to disagree with that.
It's absolutely ludicrous.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
You stupid
that's
fucking
the
bitch.
Best response you I've ever heard. To a compliment ever. No, that's absolutely ludicrous that you'd say that of me.
I'm just trying to be fucking nice.
No, you're incorrect.
I have to disagree with that. I respectfully disagree.
This is superfluous at best, Michelle.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, thank you everyone for listening to this episode. Jump onto our Instagram at Mission Zach and give us a follow so that you can keep up to date with everything that we're up to. Yeah, thanks for listening and thanks again, Ben. You're the best.
Thank you.
I have to pee.
Mish has to pee.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.